You're on base. Do you want to look in with me? You want to sit down? Rabbi Shimon, I'm... What? No, it's okay. It's fine. Rabbi Shimon, ain't sucking shemeshul meiter sheni b'Yerushalayim. You know how to you take meiter sheni oil and anoint yourself with it in Yerushalayim? The Chum Yitzchak say you are allowed to. Of course, there was no previous gemara that you're allowed to anoint yourself with oil mitzvah sheni. Amar Rabbi Shimon says to Rabbi Shimon, "Imei kel b'truma chamura." If we're mekel with truma, which is generally more lenient, and we allow you to use oil of truma to anoint yourself, and the world will tell us where we see that. Lenoka mitzvah sheni kal goes without saying. It would seem. And Maaser Sheni, which is more lenient, we do the Shrolls we make them. Armelensi said to them, no. Ma lo hekel b'truma chamura. You know, by truma, there, even though it's more severe, there's a shtikul akula by truma, as we'll see in a moment. Malkum sheiko b'karshinim, because we see that truma, there's a kula by animal fodder, v'til son and fenugreek, nekel b'maaser sheni akal. You want us to be more makel by maaser sheni, which is more lenient. Even though it's more lenient, nonetheless, malkum shelo hekel b'karshinim v'til son by animal fodder and fenugreek. Maitre Cheney is more severe. So a very interesting thing he's saying here. What? He didn't explain it. But let me just say the abstract concept. He's saying, it's true. Normally, truma is more severe than Maitre Cheney. The punishment is greater, the penalty is greater. However, there is one aspect which Maitre Cheney is more severe than truma. And with that, which has to do with fenugreek and animal fodder. We'll see in a minute what that is. And I think Karshina is vetch, if I recall correctly. But in any event, in those two areas, were more machin by Maaser Sheni than by truma. So could be also more machin by Maaser Sheni than by truma in terms of anointing. They can anoint yourselves with oils of truma, but not oils of Maaser Sheni. Okay? What is the chumrah? Says the Gemara. Is it on?
Yeah.
So sometimes the counter clicks. Says the Gemara. Says Mishnah, excuse me. What is the chumrah? Tilsa shel maaser sheni. You have fenugreek of maaser sheni. Teochel tzimchoinen. You can eat it as a. You can eat it if you planted maaser sheni, fenugreek. It was already maaser sheni. They replanted it, then it grew again. You can eat it when it's still young. Still young. You can eat it when it's still young, meaning when it's still hard and not fully edible yet. Okay, that you can do with Maaser Sheni. However, what you cannot do with Maaser Sheni is you cannot eat, you cannot use it when it's tummy. You can't use fenugreek Maaser Sheni when it's tummy. What do I mean by that? We'll see what you do when it comes tummy. But you can't use it when it's tummy. Okay? However, Tilson, Vishal Truma, if you have fenugreek Truma, Visharmi Koma Sebetara, look, you have to be makbid to do everything concerning this fenugreek patara, even though it's machal behema, even though it's truma is only a remote rabbana, because it's really animal fodder. But nonetheless, you have to conduct yourself as if it's bona fide truma and preserve its tahara in every aspect of the process except one. What's the one? When you come to shampoo yourself with fenugreek, because it's good for shampoo, then you can use to be mitami at that point. How do you know that? Yeah. You have fenugreek flakes? Seeds. Do they taste any good? It's amazing to me how many vistas of human knowledge there are, to which some of us are very ignorant and some of us are very knowledgeable. I'm very impressed. Where do you get it? In the health store? The health food store? Okay, in time of the Gemara, though, it wasn't used mostly as spice, used mostly as animal fodder. Yeah. Okay. They didn't have orange peels to give the animals back then, so they gave them fenugreek. So they saw me koma sabatuma. Hey, you can do anything to do with fenugreek truma in tuma, chutz mishriyasa, except when you soak it, because that's mamish the time, which is most reminiscent of being machshir l'karbel tuma, right? When you soak it. So therefore, the soaking has to be done in the state of tara. Tara, purity. As a reminder, that there is the concept of tara by truma, even though by fenugreek we're more mako, in order that the other procedures and other types of truma, you should always do it by tara. Similarly, kashini masusheni, I read it. Everything you do with tara, except for when you soak it. Kashini masusheni, so too the animal fodder masusheni. You planted it, you can eat it when it grows at young. They go into Yerushalayim and they exit. Now here's the chumrah. Nitmu, if they become tame. Rabbi Tafer Omer, you spiral isos. Tam says you have to bake them in separate doughs. Separate doughs meaning those which are not the size of kibetza, so they're not going to be metame tumas ochlin, right? They can be redeemed, but that you see, you're not allowed to make them tame. If they became tame, there's certain procedures. Machlokas, what you do, but you're not allowed to make them tame. Yeah, when it comes to truma, beshamim shorin v'shafin, you could soak the animal fodder and rub it to make it more edible for the animals. Bitara, that you do bitara. But you give it to the animal seed when it's tummy. It goes even further. I mean, bitara, while you soak it in the state of purity, it, but to rub it, give it to eat to the animal, bituma. So what do we see clearly? See clearly that we're more machmir by fenugreek and animal fodder of Meister Shani to preserve its tara and only be the Eved to do something with it when it becomes tame, such as divide it up into small doughs or redeem it, whereas by the fenugreek and animal fodder of Truma, you can even go ahead and be metame it outright. Is that clear? Do we see? Do you see that?
I just have a couple questions.
Yes. Well, you know what? Let me finish the Mishnah for it first. Shami Omer. Shammai says, when you eat this stuff, I think it's the Meister Sheni.
What are they arguing? Where is this Baruch?
No, there's even the truma, the fenugreek or Christian truma. Since we allowed him to matame it, later on when you come to eat, you have to eat it dry, as if it never was moist. In other words, it's in order that it should not reek, so to speak, of tuma, because moist stuff is by definition so tame, right? We don't care. It can be moist and soaked and wet, and the fenugreek and animal fodder of truma, there's no kpeda on truma and tara, except for one stage in the process, that stage when you're soaking it, or that stage when you're actually was going to see the water, removing it from the water, which is tantamount to the same thing. Yes.
Did you ever say that truma is really
one of
the
say
just the
is it what?
Is it in effect just like property?
No, of course there's no kedusha. If it's tummy, you can't eat it normally. Except by this animal fodder.
So this is different than we have by
we're worried about the whole city of Phineas Gatokan in terms of.
Oh, well, here we are too. She said only by this animal fodder and fenugreek do we have a special leniency that we don't care about truma.
Not by any other
kind of truma. Only because here, the truma is, they're really not chayim truma because they're really primarily animal food. Both of them. Chachom and chayim and truma nonetheless. But they were so makel in this truma, specifically, only and specifically in the truma of this fenugreek and animal fodder, because it's not really human food. But by human food, we have the same severity which we have by a korban. Even more than Meiser Sheni, for that matter.
It's interesting, right before this discussion, right before the beginning of Meister Shaney, that you don't have to have it consumed inside Yerushalayim?
Only because it became Tommy. Oh, wait a minute. Scratch it. That's why you can take it out to Yerushalayim. But you must, but you have to bring it back in to eat it. You're going to have to, we're going to see in the Gemara, you have to bring it back in to eat it. Okay?
You came to me, you have to take it out of Yerushalayim.
You don't have to.
You can.
You can, man. Bring it back in. We're going to see what. We're going to see what the advantage is, but only by this fenugreek and animal fodder. And b'di'evit, not l'chatchila. You can't go ahead and be metamid. If you came tamid, you can take it back out. Okay? My kele b'truma. The Gemara says, why are they making b'truma? Where would they make a truma? Rabbanan mentioned that by truma we make an anointing. Where do we find that? Kedoratani is that which you learn. Sachu koin shemachal truma. A koin can anoint himself with oil shel truma. Now can he himself do it? Or maybe Ben Bito shel Yisrael brings his grandson, who's a Yisrael, right? His grandson through his daughter. Umagilo gabimei. If he could even rub it on his grandson's stomach, Veinachosh is not concerned that he's giving him truma improperly. Period. I'm Rabbi Yechon. New thing. Our Mishnah says that Rabbi Shimon refuted the Kavachom Rabbanim by saying that one aspect, Meiser Sheni, is more severe. By the way, I don't remember seeing in the Mefarshim why Meiser Sheni is more severe. So I'll give you a svarit. Why is Meiser Sheni more severe in this case? Because this Meiser Sheni is brought to Yerushalayim. And therefore it has a semblance. You know, it has to have an aura of public public tara. Whereas the truma of the animal fodder and the fenugreek, every coin gets it in their own backyard, so to speak. Literally speaking, actually. So therefore, since that's the case, they were not as makbid. Because there's no public defilement. Because everybody knows it's animal fodder and the coin does it privacy of his own home. It's truma aspect. Okay, that's just my hunch. I don't know. It sounds good. Here, Rabbi Shimon is doing a mind-boggling thing. That's really what the Gemara is pointing out. He's saying, I found in the Rabbanans of Meiser Sheni and Truma a place where Meiser Sheni is more severe than Truma. Because all of the Truma and Meiser Sheni by animal fodder is any way a de Rabbanan. And in that aspect of the Rabbanan, Meiser Sheni is more severe than Truma. In the Raisas, Meiser Sheni is never more severe than Truma. Truma is always more severe than Meiser Sheni. Yet nonetheless, Rabbi Shimon says, don't teach me that at the Raisa level. You can anoint yourselves with oil in Meiser Sheni, because you could do it in Truma and certainly in Meiser Sheni, because in the Rabbanan level, I see somewhere in a Gevurf in a case, right, an isolated case, that one case, Meiser Sheni is more severe than Truma. It's a mind-boggling thing, the Gemara is saying. The Rabbanan, an obscure Rabbanan, cast off the potential of a limud horizon. But that's what happens. Okay? And that's it. We go further. Kini Masisa. Immortal style of the Yerushalmi. Nice point. Right. Kini Masisa. This is the way to read our Mishnah. Hey, it sounds like a Mishnah like Teochel Tzichonim means you dafka eat Meiser Sheni, which is replanted, or whether it's fenugreek or animal fodder when it's young, and you don't wait till it grows older. So this is more, it doesn't mean you have to muteris le'achal b'timuchonim. You're allowed to eat it when it's young, but of course it's nice to wait till it grows older as well. Okay. I'm Rabbi my Benayo. What's the difference between the two opinions? Now here there are all many gears of changes. The question is this going back on, it's not gears of changes, different pshati. Is this going back on the Mishnah or is it going on a Tosefta? Because in the Tosefta, there's a slightly different gear song. And so it's not a slightly different gear song. It's Machlokes Rabbeinu and Rabbi Yehuda. Okay? The Pnei Moshe learns this is going on a Tosefta, this next line. Because the Tosefta says, you know, why don't we see it inside in the first Pnei Moshe? Kini Masnisa, first Pnei Moshe, the Gemara. Kini Masnisa, do you see that? Mr. Zuga, you see that? Okay, actually the second Pnei Moshe. Ma Beneo, the end to five lines in on the line. Five, seven or eight words on the line. Whatever. Ma Beneo, I heard the type of Tosef, this great Tosef, 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 I leave the Rambam according to the mayor. Be pluktai to beis lo beis shamai, and the machlos beis lo shamai, kai, that's what more is going on. Pluktai to kabon, and it's brought down later on. The Tzina Tamon El Osam, it says over there, Perek Beis, the same Perek, Beshamri Koma Sebatara. By fenugreek and tilson of Truma, you have to do an Atara all the way. Not like our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, Beshamai says, everything has to be done with Atara except the Chafifa, except the shampooing. The Brightson says, Beshamai says, every deed in the process of using the fenugreek has to be done b'tahara. Furthermore, b'somim komase b'tumah, you can do everything in tumah chutz b'chafifasa, except for the shampooing, which is what b'shamay says in our Mishnah, right? B'somim our Mishnah said you can do everything in tumah except for the shriya. That's the Rabbi Meir. Our Mishnah is going to grab you there. We don't b'shamim komase b'tahara chutz b'chafifasa. The whole thing can be done in tumah except for the shampooing. Everything should be done tara, except for the shampooing. Everything is in tuma, except for the soaking. Where's Rabbi in our Mishnah? Now we're going to go to Rabbi Meir and explain Rabbi Meir. Then what's the difference? So tomorrow, Rabbi Yoina, going back tomorrow, Shaila Beneo. Can you draw the fenugreek or the tilson or accretion out of the water where it's soaking when your hands are tommy? That according to our mayor's live to tree based on Bishamai. Okay, let's see the inside. My second line, I'm Rabbi Yehuda Sholobin, and when you draw it out of the water, that's the difference. Bishamai Sholobi Adaim Toros. Bishamai says to God, take it out with war hands which are Torah. You can take out water with hands which are tommy. Tani. We learned Zudi Rabbi Meir that until that those are words of Rabbi Meir, but our Mishnah it contains the words of Rabbi Yehuda. Aval Divrei Rabbi Yehuda Meir beShamay Yomim Kol Maaseh B'Tahara, everything to do with the fenugreek or the animal fodder has been done B'Tahara Chutz MiChafifasa except for the shampoo. BeSumim Kol Maaseh B'Tuma, you do the whole thing B'Tuma. Chutz Mishil Yasa, except for the drawing out of the water. Ma Benayin, according to Rabbi Yehuda, what's it between the two shitos? I'm Rabbi Masya Megiga Benayin. Megiga, that's the machlokas. Now you'll ask me what Megiga is, and I will tell you that I forgot. What is Megiga again? Yeah, after you soak it, you crush it with your hands in order to get off the shell. Okay, it's like So it's mager and megiga. It's the same type of idea, I think. I have an article sitting here. Thank God. What? Yeah, that's good. That'll fit in. Are you sure about that? Scale of 1 to 10, how sure is pretty sure? No. No. Not bad, though. No, he has Magir's cast down. Cast down. He has Tishaber smash. You're probably right. Tishaber means to break. Smager, I think, is crashed down. Cats to smash. All right, whatever the case may be. So that's the machlokas. Beisharmim boigig v'yadayim tyrus, that according to Rabbi Yehuda's pshat beisharmim, which is our Mishnah, you have to be moigig, you have to smash the husk off with pure hands. You can even do the Megiga, smashing down with tummy hands. Okay, so let's sum up. According to our mayor, the difference is between Shamay spills whether you can do the Shriya or they're both the same thing. Shriya is so putting into the water, and Shliya or Shola is taking it out of the water, right? So when it comes to context with water, that's the most. As I said before, it's the one which is most reminiscent of Tuma and Taro, right? Because that's what makes it the shame, Mukhshar Lakabel Tuma. So Beisil says, you can even be Shoyle be a dime to males. And you can even be Shoyle, you can do everything be a dime to males, even to be Shoyle, right? Can you even show the diet males? What's the one thing which you can't do with diet males? Chafifa, right? Because chafifa, I guess, because chafifa, the shampooing, you can't do with diet males because then that's the actual point of usage. Okay, so he holds that the usage, you have to be machmira. Again, they still says you don't have to be machmira on the soaking. You have to be machmir on the shampooing. Beishamai holds, even on the soaking, you have to be machmir. Meaning, not just on the shampooing, but also on putting in and taking it out, you have to be machmir. Okay?
It's a good question.
The aspect of the Gemara Malacha. The Chafifa? Instead of usage, the Gemara Malacha?
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm not willing to say that so readily because generally Gemara Malacha has to do with some stage before usage. And here is really the actual usage when Chafifa is put in your hair. Right? So that's according to Rabbi Meir, the difference between the two. According to Rabbi Huda, the difference between the two is that everybody agrees, according to him, that everybody agrees to him, according to him, that the soaking has to be done by Tyra. So I question the soaking has to be done by Tyra. Let me just say that again for the meeting. Quiet, Mayor! Beisil and Beishamai disagree whether the soaking has to be done by Tyra. Beishamai says yes, and Beisil says no. According to Rabbi Yehuda, everybody agrees that the soaking has to be done by Tyra. That's for sure. The question is the Megiga. Do you have to also do the smashing of the husks by Tyra or not? Beishamai says you do, and Beisil says you don't. Okay, so again, Armish is going like the second shot, that everybody agrees that the soaking has got to be done by Tyra. And if the soaking has got to be done by Tyra, Koshkin, the Chafifa, the Shapui has got to be done by Tyra. The question is whether the smashing has to be done by Tyra or not. Beishamai holds yes, Beisil says no. According to the Pshat, which is not Armish, the Pshat Rav Meir, which is more lenient, everybody agrees that the Megiga, the smashing, can be done by Tumah. The question is the Sharia, the soaking, whether that is to be done by Tyra or not. Beis Hillel says it doesn't have to be done by Tyra. The only thing that has to be done by Tyra is the Chafifa, the actual usage. Beis Shammai says even the soaking has to be done by Tyra, again, because that's very reminiscent of Hilchos Tumah and Tyra. Okay? So that's the Machloksim. Okay, going further in our Mishnah, The Mishnah said, you make you take it outside Yerushalayim if it becomes tame, the Maaser Sheni. So that's more only k'day lasos isa for lachzor, only to make a dough outside Yerushalayim and then come back. Why make dough outside Yerushalayim? Because it seems the overhead outside Yerushalayim was lower. So it's more kedai to make the dough outside Yerushalayim. Just by Maaser Sheni, normally once in Eretz Yerushalayim, there's no taking it out. Right, but this became tummy. You can go outside your slime, make the dough, and bring it back in. Okay, and also it just repeats. Okay, so it's isa v'lachzor. Okay, so it's isa v'lachzor and come back again. Mas nisa the Rambam Shingam Lioli. Armit cycle Shingam Liol. Shingam Liol. Amar Shingam Liol says, "Apeiros nad peiros nichnasim v'yoytzim." Even food can go into your slime and come back out. Okay, Chori here, I was in our Mishnah. The fruit had Yerushalayim, then comes back out again. So it must be like him. So they're like, no! They've got Koli. Our Mishnah's like everybody. Of course, our Mishnah's like everybody. Hachakalu, Shekelu, be Krishan. Here it's a leniency which they had by Tomei Krishan. Rabbeisai, Bismana Zeh. Maizer Sheni, Tomei Yerushalayim, you're not allowed to take outside. Why? Because it's not animal fodder. When's the one time they're making them take tummy Maaser Sheni out to Yerushalayim? Only by animal fodder. That's it. Even then, it's only in order to bring it back in once it's needed. But only then, it's the only time I'll take it outside Yerushalayim. Okay? Ubad Bisa Shul Krishan. Only by a dough made out of this animal fodder. Ubad Bisa Shul Krishan. And also, even when you take it out of Yerushalayim to knead it, you have to knead it with other Maaser Sheni. It can't be Mavatlet and Chulin. You can't take the animal fodder, which is a small amount, and put it into a large dough with chulin and be a vatalit. That's a no-no. Has to retain Maaser Sheni. So you make doughs outside your slime, and you bring it back into inside your slime with Maaser Sheni, as Maaser Sheni. Okay? Yeah, they did. It was eaten b'shas adchak. Yeah, eat a small amount where it's not makabat tuma, right?
What's he going to kill you?
Okay? You put it in with a larger... I think you really do. Take a small amount, which is not going to be metame, and be mevatel in a larger amount of tar. So, that's how you do it. Okay? That's how you do it. Because it itself will remain tame if you grind it down and make it into dough. So you mevatel it in a larger amount, but a large amount not of chulin, but rather of other maaser sheni. Okay? It says more further. Rabbi Gurion and Rabbi Shem Rabbi Yossi ben Chanina said, "Divrei Rabbi Tarfon." Rabbi Tarfon argues in our Mishnah. Tarfon says, "Once it becomes tamei, Rabbi Tarfon's word says you have to put it into doughs. Rachom says you can just redeem it. You don't have to put it into other doughs. So why does Rabbi Tarfon say you have to mix it with other doughs and not redeem it? Because Divrei Rabbi Tarfon, according to Rabbi Tarfon." Ain't poidim as a kachim achil leklovim. If you redeem it, what are you going to do with it? It's animal fodder. What are you going to give it to eat? Dogs. Not necessarily dogs. Could be cows. But the idea is the same, right? And it was quasi hektish. It was Maaser Sheni. To redeem it now, it's not nice, because what are you going to do with it? You're going to revert it to animal fodder. That's no good. Okay? Rabbi says, Nihu advorim. You know what? It's a nice vault, Rabbi Tarfon holds. They don't run and redeem it to animal fodder. But it makes sense to say that only by a royal lechel adam, something which is human food. So then to redeem it and make it animal food, it's not nice, right? Let me start over again. But this case, it wasn't suitable for a human being to eat. So therefore, in this case, redeem it for an animal to be able to eat it. Because that's what animal fodder is. It's animal food. Rabbi Yitzhak Bar Yoshi, boy. Yitzhak Bar Yoshi asked a question. Nidmu b'gvulin. What became Tame outside Yerushalayim? Came Tommy back at home before he came to Yerushalayim. Lo yipadu. Chor korin Rabbi Tarfon should be able to redeem it. Shein poidim es ha-kotchim l'achil klavim, not allowed to be poidim ha-kotchim to redeem, give them to eat the dogs. Rabbi Yehuda said, "Vehein nutei nitume." There are about a billion perushim in what these words mean. Several of which, of course, change the words to say that they mean they're supposed to say something else. There's no words in the nutei nitume. But I like the Pnei Moshe Pshat. He's saying that Rabbi Yehuda was making a mockery out of Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yoshev. So Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yoshev asked, what about it became Tomei before he brought up the Shulayim? So Rabbi Yehuda is saying, Vehein, what is this? Nutein, Tomei, like Tomei, Shmamei business. Of course, it's bullshit that he can't redeem it. Doesn't matter whether it became Tomei. According to Rabbi Tarver, he can't redeem it because they're going to feed it to the dogs, to the cows. Doesn't matter where it became Tomei, far outside Yerushalayim. In Yerushalayim, you can never redeem it. You have to divide it up and make those out of it. So this is like Tomei, Shmomei, Bomei. You know, of course, it's all the same. Okay? There are many other different shatim in that. It's a good enough shot for us. Okay? Says the Mishnah further. Mos chulin. Yeah, money of chulin. Mos ma'aser sheni. And money of ma'aser sheni should inspire in his bathroom. None of you have a lot of coins in your pockets, do you? You do? How many you got? Oh, good. Okay. Not bad. You have more? Oh, great. Okay, put them away. Okay, originally, audio-visual aids. Boy, you go to a lot of parking meters, don't you?
I don't have a washing
machine. Oh, so you go. Okay. This is Ma'aser Sheni money. And that's Chulin money. Okay? Now it got scattered together. Okay? Now, a few of them got. Actually, I should have made a pile. Let's assume that there were 10 and 10, right? Now, 10, these all got lost. Those are lost. Can't find. So what I do is I count 10. I might say, well, there are many more than 10 here. I count them, but let's say you count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 of my Sushani. And that, even though they're now less of Chulin, which I should say the loss is proportionate, right? I don't say that. I don't say loss portion. I assume all the ones that got lost are Chulin ones. And I keep these for Ma'aser Sheni. Is that clear? No, but it's worse than Breira. Because Breira would be that I could be able to say, yeah, it's worse than Breira. Because Breira would be I could say, these are the ones that are originally Ma'aser Sheni, and these are the ones that are originally Chulin. But here, here the Chulin loses, right? Because there's less Chulin. Because I say, whatever got lost, that was all the Chulin stuff which got lost. Okay? So tough. Is that clear? Again, let's say I originally had. I had 10 and 10, and now I lost 4. So now I say I didn't lose 2 and 2, but rather those 4 were all Chulin, and the rest remained Ma'aser Sheni. Okay? Oh, it will, though. That's one case. Ma'aser Leke, the Ma'aser Sheni, right? Whatever you. Did I start reading the Mishnah? Most Ma'aser Sheni, spazi, they scatter. Ma'aser Leke, the Ma'aser Sheni, whatever you collect is considered Ma'aser Sheni. Achi Ashli. Until you can get up to the original count of Ma'aser that you had, the Shachun, the rest is Chulin. Gimbala, what happens if before I scatter them? Not after I scatter them. Before I scatter them. I put them all together. And I shook them all in my hand, right? So I mix them all together. Right? Like that. And then I scattered them. So then in that case, I say, they're all here. Well, even if something got lost, actually. Even if something got lost. It's Lefi Cheshbon. Because they dispersed, distributed evenly. So therefore, wherever there's a sampling of the coins, I say that's proportional to the original amount. So therefore, say if I, the case I gave before, I had 10 and 10, right? And now I lost 4, all I have is 16 left, so I say it's 8 and 8. Since I mixed them up before they scattered. Is that clear? Clear? Right. First case, I didn't mix it, right. Separate piles and they fell. Right. They happen to fall in the same location, but they didn't fall after a mixture, after they're mixed together. So they have, in that case, chulin loses. In the second case, since I mixed them together before they fell, chulin doesn't lose, because they say it fell proportionally, and it's 8 and 8. Okay? It's a little bit like Breyer in this case. It's not called a parish because no rove here, but it's a little like Breyer. Okay, but it's not Breyer because I mixed them up well. Zaklau, the general principle is as follows. I'm selecting where I just gather up woods which fell at random, then some Meister Shani. Then I give the advantage to Meister Shani. Hani Vloli, but if they're mixed up before they fell, so then, if you cheshbon, I go by the proportion. Okay? Newish, this is a place where the Kavanoki would divide the mission like three different sections. So the Pnei Moshe did, it's amazing. It's Mamish, I don't understand why they go to the Pnei Moshe division. Because here, the next part of the Pnei Moshe, next part of the mission, the Pnei Moshe puts on Yud Beis and Mod Aleph. Okay, go figure. Sel Shel Meister Sheni. Vishel Chulin Sheni Sarvu. You have a coin of Meister Sheni of Chulin, which got mixed together. So what are you going to do now? You don't know which is which. Maybe Vesela Mos, so you bring a Sela of Mos. Let's say this is silver. It's not, but let's say it was. So, and now, so this is silver Meister Sheni. This is silver Chulin. They are mixed together. I don't know which is which. So I bring 25 pennies, copper. And I say, let this, whichever one it is, be redeemed on the 25 penny copper pennies. Is that clear? What do you do? Again, so I don't know which is which. I say, whatever one it is, let it be mechulo on the copper pennies. Okay? So far, so good? So, again, sell the Meister Sheni v'shel Chulin shi'sar v'gam b'shel, maybe v'shel Mos. You bring a sella of the copper. V'ayim say sell the Meister Sheni, the silver coin of Meister Sheni b'chol makom shehi, wherever it is b'chulel v'shel Mos, is redeemed on the copper. Ha'il on this copper. Uvores ha'yofish shebohen. And then what do? You turn around because you don't want to keep it copper. Meister Sheni doesn't like copper. You know why Meister Sheni doesn't like copper? Take a wild guess. You get it on the second. You probably won't get it on the first guess, but on the second guess you get it. You're thinking much too lumpish. Too complicated.
In other words, so you know somebody died, somebody became Russian.
Rhymes. Too many.
Too many. Okay.
So some of them will get lost.
So we said, well, it must be the rabbi.
In other words, what's more? 25 pieces of copper. They're going to get lost in the way to Yerushalayim. Right. That's right. So you have to bring it back again. But what you do is like this. This is very cute. Okay, so now I have these. I put out my 25 pennies. I redeem whichever one it is. Now I buy back with the 25 pennies whichever of these is a nicer seller. Okay, and the oldies, of course, they weren't all uniform. So I buy back whichever's a nicer one. And that would now become some of my nicer shiny money. Okay? Because he said, you can redeem silver on copper when you're up against the wall. In other words, when you're oppressed, shouldn't leave it that way. Don't leave it as copper, but then go back and redeem again on the silver. What about you really want to consolidate? You want to make your silver into gold to carry to Shalom. Bisham says you can't do it. The cemetery says it's okay. I'm a Rabbi Akiva. I need to see some Gamliel Rav Shua. I did such a thing from Gamliel Rav Shua. I made his kasbon dinarizah. I took their silver, which was silver Meister Sheni money, and made it gold for them. Okay. Gemara. I'm Rabbi Zira. Rabbi Zira said, "Kidei l'schar Sheni." Why do I say that in the first case where they got lost and weren't mixed together previously, that the Meister Sheni gets the benefit of the doubt in order to give reward to Ma'aser Sheni, because Ma'aser Sheni is, you know, superior. Shema Yovdu Ashar, because maybe the rest get lost, or you won't see the rest. You'll never find them. So that his hands are already grabbed. In other words, they have the status of Ma'aser Sheni. Rabbi Zira said, "Retzorach Latnos." He has to make it tonight in that case. For Loma, they say, "Im Helu Shalomatan Sheni." If the ones which are lost are the Ma'aser Sheni ones, you elu shibiyari, let those which are my hands, tvusalem, let they be seized upon them, which means let they take their place. But I have to make an oral declaration that I'm being mechala, whatever money was lost, if it had Ma'aser Sheni coins in it, on these coins and charges, which I did find, which are making the Ma'aser Sheni instead. Is that clear what I just said? I lost 4 out of the 20. So I make a declaration, let whatever of those 4 were Ma'aser Sheni, let them be mechulo, let them be redeemed on the stuff which I'm taking now. Which is,
but according to Mishnah, it's automatically assumed to be the Yehul and not Ma'aser Sheni.
Not in the first case.
In the first case,
we said you have to give the benefit of doubt to Ma'aser Sheni.
Yeah. Which means.
He's just saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So about to put, I could be some of the stuff lost stuff was Ma'aser Sheni taki. So then I say that's why I make the tznai and say if some of that is Ma'aser Sheni, let it be redeemed on these about this point over here. Okay. Says one. I'm Rabbi Zira. Rabbi Zira said, oh, I just did that. I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said, "Vushalikim mikan." Interesting. Look, I'm not sure I exactly understand it. The physical mitzvahs. This is only in the case where you didn't mix them together. If you collect it from here and from here, then I get the benefit of doubt in Ma'aser Sheni. I'm liket al uman, but let's say I had made a straight line. Now I think what it means is like this: they weren't mixed together before they fell. They fell like this. Okay, so I go through the entire mixture and I take a straight line through. I say that swath, the law of averages dictates that are hit properly. Okay?
Isn't there where balls fall from different
maybe that was a museum science industry in the 70s. I haven't seen it. Because I go there all the time. Okay. So again, I'm ready to usually give me kind of comments when you didn't random. I'm looking at uman, but if you went in a swath through, can boil the chayvin. It's as if you got a regular mixture, and therefore in that case, you don't have to make any tznai. I assume you got a proper proportion. Rabbi Yossi b'shem Rabbi Pidoyan, Rabbi Yonah b'shem Rabbi Chizkia said, "Ain b'lil b'shem of Yai v'vad." You know what? Coins don't get mixed together proportionally. What gets mixed together proportionally? Only liquids, like wine and oil. Forget it. This whole mishnah is no good because there are no proportions. Says Mara, anything up to the size of kezias can get mixed in proportionally. Fine powder can, anything up to the size of kezias. Says Mara, Mastisa Pligra Biyochan, it says our Mishra'is Rabbi Yochan. Story about coins. And unless you know about coins, it says in Bolivichov, and if you mix them up and then made a handful of them, the Ficheshman. So it goes proportionally. So we see that even by coins, they're proportions, right? Even though larger than kezias. So you know what he's going to answer. What's he going to answer? He's going to answer. Come on. To the Chora, our mission is a kasher Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan says has to be smaller than a kezias in order to get mixed up properly. Our mission says even coins get mixed up properly. You're Rabbi Yochanan, what you going to answer about our Mishnah? Coins are smaller than a kezias. You got got it. Okay, you can think like you saw me already. Says the Gemara. Pasel lo ad kizaisin. He explained our mission today about coins up to the size of the size, not more. Okay. Now, this is a header. Actually, this threw me off. Kavanoki actually identifies headers, but the next line is header. I'm slacked in my sasheni. Said he gathered them and they weren't mixed up proportionally. They all go in my sasheni. The benefit of the doubt goes to my sasheni. Be more precise. And if loved, they're mixed up. The it's proportionate. Rabbi Yossi be Rabbi Boon. You know, it's okay for me. Just a spoonful of coffee and half water halfway up. Rabbi Yossi Bar Boon, Shem Rabbi Chuna said, Salkas Masnisin, our Mishnah comes out. I think Salkas means come down, I forgot. Sweet and Salkas. That's right.
The question is, she read if he had cried for Rebbe.
Why are you crying? No, yeah, I'm correct. Yeah, so this is where our mission comes out. And if loy vanechbonim, the vicheshbon. Now it has to be mixed up, and you also have to hold it in your hand that way. You know, and then only then is it proportional. In other words, as opposed to, I guess.
Now, so the other question is,
he actually holds. You have to shake him up. That's where the Reb Chaim Kanievsky church sort of explained it. In order to be both, it's not just enough that they were in your pocket scattered together, but you actually have to. Like rolling dice, you have to shake them up before you throw them out. Only then do I say it falls proportionally. Okay? Big chumma. Okay, Tai Ben Azeh Mesh Tai. Ben Azeh said a very interesting thing. Ben Azeh said, you know, getting back to the next part in our Mishnah, said that if you don't know which one it is, you have two coins, you don't know which is the coin, so you take copper. They redeem it on copper, they redeem it back on silver. So Beshamai basis Ben Azeh said, you got to take twice as much copper as silver. So how much copper do you give? Quarter? 50 cents. So it's very weird. Mar picks up on this. Says, Ma Bechelma. Zira said, what is that which I saw in my dream? Kad Yechol Ula Bar Shmoy Yishmo. Kupta Shmena. And I'm going, Kadiecho means when I will, but here it means that I will. Right? That I will give. Well, Kad means that when I will, but here it means that I will. That I will, Yechal, give to Ula Bar Yishmael to Ula, the son of Yishmael, Kupta Shmena, a fat piece of meat. Let me say it outside. I saw in my dream that I'm going to give Ula a fat piece of meat. I'm going to give him a steak. Or, a burger. What does it mean? When am I going to do this? So the next day, Lemachar, Atzer Shoyle. Next day, Ula came to Rabbi Zira and asked him, Pshatin Ben Azeh. What does Ben Azeh mean? That you give two, right? So then now he understood. Because Rabbi Zira knew a Pshatin. No, just black. Thank you. Rabbi Zira knew Pshatin in Ula, in Ben Azeh. So Ula came to ask him, what's the pshat? This is the fatty meat which is going to give him the good steak, meaning the pshat in Ben Azeh. Says, since you have forced him to give 50 cents, he'll redeem it back on the silver. Interessant. He doesn't have to keep 50 cents of copper as being Maizu Shani. Once he redeems it back on the silver, it goes back to 25 cents. But when he's using copper, he has to use twice as much. In the interim, he uses twice as much. Okay? When it goes back, it reverts back to the quarter. As an incentive. It's not a knas because it doesn't last. Incentives again to switch back to silver ASAP. As long as copper is twice as much. We're very nervous it's going to lose it, right? So therefore, it's an incentive we make and go back to silver as soon as possible. Okay? You want some?
No, is it good?
Oh, is it good? Yeah, no, it's Maxwell House. It's as good as Maxwell House can be. The shot is, it's just as good to the last drop as it was in the first drop. Okay. Says the Gemara. Chizkiya says, "Kshumachalala." Now, this is really a separate issue. It really is very little to our Mishnah, if at all. Chizkiya says, "Well, it'll come back to our Mishnah actually later on. I take that back." Kshumachalala. When you redeem, Meister Sheni, the redemption of Meister Sheni has kulis on it. The reason why it has kulis on it is likely, although I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure. The reason why it has kulis is because Midaraisa. Shmuel says a couple times in Bavli, don't recall we have new Shalmi yet. The rice can be machal shav and mea mana ala pruta. And that's what we do with Zman HaZev. Zman HaZev, when they redeem Meister Sheni, they do hundreds and thousands of dollars worth on a pruta. Because with the rice, it doesn't have to be a fair exchange. I mean, Rabban, it's got to be fair, right? It's got to be that. Bro, the amount you're redeeming on approximates the value that you were redeeming. Except it's mine as that, we reverted to the right, so why? Because he has nothing to do with it anyway, right? So it's an exercise just in being Yates design, so therefore his man is reverted to the Dindar Raisa. But his man should be Semitashai and they would go to Shlaim, so they would be Makbin. I'm approximating the value. So says Gemara, nonetheless, they gave you a kula. And they said, when you're machalo it, you can make it as if it is a bad one. Meaning, I think we're going to Meister Sheni being bad. Let me just check if I'm correct about that.
I can put
some in the ground. I can make
nets.
So nets. I mean,
nets.
So plants.
I guess I can do that.
It's
idea tapio.
Yeah. Okay.
And I can.
Shumachala, it's backwards. That's where I got mixed up. Shumachala, when you redeem the money in Yerushalayim for fruit. Okay, this you took a lousy coin, and you're putting the Meister Sheni on it. So in Yerushalayim, when you spend it for fruit, so you could treat it like a bad coin. What does it mean, like a bad coin? You don't have to be mocking me to get maximum value out of it. Okay, you don't get whatever you get, whatever you buy, it's sufficient. Okay, that's when you redeem Yerushalayim. However, when you reduce it to redeem fruit on it. Before you get to Yerushalayim, osa sakiyafa. Then you redeem it as if it's a good coin. Redeem on as if it's a good coin. In other words, say a good coin is worth 15 prutos. I'm making that up. And a bad coin is worth 10 prutos. So when you redeem the fruit on the coin, you can pretend that it's like 15 prutos, even though it's really a 10 pruto coin. When you go to Yerushalayim, all you have to buy, though, is the equivalent of 10 prutos. Okay? So you come out ahead on both ends. Okay? God, it's not literally come out ahead, but you get the idea. You come out ahead. What? Since the whole concept of redeeming on approximate values to Rabbanan, so they're Mekel and they gave you the benefit of the variability in the worth of a specific coin should always be in your favor. Okay? That's what I think as far as. Okay? Is that clear?
As far as maybe that you want to do your redemption in Yerushalayim itself. Because it's in your favor to do that. And maybe the economy of Yerushalayim.
I don't know, it doesn't seem to have anything to do with Yerushalayim. It has to do with, it seems to have, maybe, I can't tell you for sure not. But it doesn't seem to be that way. To me. But Ninon, now we relate it back to our Mishnah. Didn't we learn our Mishnah? Boris and Yavish ben Machal on Aleyan. Hey, if you're saying we always give the guy the benefit of the doubt and we incline against the Maaser Sheni, so what are our mission? Our mission says the two coins mixed together and then you redeem on copper, you got to pick the better coin and redeem the copper back on the better silver coin. It's a contradiction, right? But the embarrassed Yomishabat, you mechal the copper back on it. The Yorvis Arav Yasusoki Yafe, choose the bad one and make it like a good one. Says Rabbi Rabbi said, here it's different. Because when I come to redeem to begin with, I can give myself the benefit of the doubt. But here it's possible that this coin was already Maaser Sheni previously, and therefore I have to be choishish that it's the Maaser Sheni coin and go back and choose the better one for Maaser Sheni. Says no way. Why should you have to go back and take the better coin? You already redeemed it on the copper. Now neither of them are Maaser Sheni. So why have to go back and choose the better coin for Maaser Sheni? Says more, a very interesting concept. Rabbi Yerubir said, Lo she's kavin la soysa chulin berurin. When I redeem the silver on the copper, I don't intend to make one of them absolute chulin. Rather, all I'm trying to do is to make sure that when I go back, I have the right to choose either coin. And it's not just a matter of random choice. In other words, I quasi-remove the kedusha from these coins by redeeming the one of them on copper. So it's only a quasi-removal and not a full removal. That's when I go back to silver, I have to choose the better one of these two coins and designate it as Maaser Sheni. Now, where this still writes, so none of this would wash. Because the rights are, it's either redeemed or not redeemed. There's no quasi-redeemed. Since all of these are the Rabbanans, so therefore you could talk about quasi-redemptions as well. Okay? Again, Rabbi Yehuda Loishi Skavin La Sosa Chulin Beruin. Now they should take and make a Chulin altogether. Teilo Chayishu Shu Kain shows the truth. The thing we learned Loishi Kaim Kain. Now that you leave it like this, El Chayzi Mechal Kaze, we go back and redeem on the silver. So therefore, it's not a permanent redemption. Rabbi Chagai Amar Kumi Rabbi Zira.
There's a whole thing I was just learning in Zafiomi about it.
Menachem Sebeshem Rabbi Yochan. Kol Shomer B'Demai. Anything which is said by Demai Mechalalin, that it can be redeemed, substance on substance, we're going to discuss what they are. Mechalalin Bivadai, if it's definite, in other words, for sure Maaser Sheni has not been taken off, Mechalalin Somidorach, we can do it if we're up against the creek. Says Lamar, I don't buy that at all. But seeing that we learn our Mishnah, you can only redeem silver on copper when you're up against the creek, up against the wall. Another, when you're off the creek, up against the wall. In other words, when you have all these coins which fell and you don't know which is which, so then you redeem the silver on the copper because you're in a corner, right? To use another cliche. However, all kesef al kesef lo. Now to redeem silver on silver. You can't redeem silver on silver itself, only silver on copper. We know by Demai, though, you can't redeem silver on silver. By Demai, you're allowed to. So why in our mission allow you to redeem silver on silver? In our mission say you should redeem the silver on the copper and then back the silver again. If the principle is that anything that can be done at Demai outright can be done by Vadai when you're in a pinch, another cliche. So then, he or she be allowed to redeem directly silver on silver. Why do you have to go silver to copper to silver? So your principle must not be correct. So what is the proper principle to say? Good question. Glad he asked. Says the Gemara. Rabbi Ba Bar Koyin Amar Kum Rabbi Yona and Rav Moshe Rabbi Yochanan said this is the proper principle. Kol Shemru B'Dmai Mechalalin. Anything which Demai, they said it works. Bevadai Avar the Chilul on Mechalalin. Bevadai, if you transgressed and did it, it's a valid transaction. And that would be here true as well. In other words, by Demai, you're allowed to redeem silver on silver. By Vadai, you're not allowed to redeem silver on silver. If you did it, b'dieved, then you're a sinner, a criminal. But it goes through. And that's why our Mishnah did not suggest redeeming the silver directly on silver, because it's a criminal act. It might work, but we wouldn't want to suggest it. Okay. Says Gemara further, Rabbi Yudan Bar Pazi said Bishrei and Rabbi Shimon Bar Bava Shem Yochan also said Kol Shem with my mechalin, and there's they said by my works. Vaday over mechilam mechulin chulin by vaday. If you did it, even though it's an aver, works as well. Tanya Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Lezer said, Rabbi Shimon said. Rabbi Lezer Shimon, the son of Rabbi Shimon Bar Chai said, Kishem Shulchalin Kesav on the Choshes, just like a redeem. Okay, here there's yeah, okay, so far so good. Kishen she mechalin kesev al choshes, just like you redeem silver on copper, kach mechalin zav al kesev, redeem gold on silver. Okay, meaning if you originally redeemed your Meitzer Sheni on gold coins, you can then turn around and redeem them on silver coins. Okay? Amar le Rebbe, Rebbe said, Rabbi Yudana said, why can we redeem silver on copper? Because you can also redeem silver on gold. Meaning, silver is always money. You can always go from fruit to money or money to fruit, but not from money to money. That's why you can't go from kesef to kesef. Okay? Now, coins of copper or of gold are considered fruit vis-a-vis silver, because silvers are the best coins. It's like quarters, right? Whereas copper and gold are not as good. Copper because it's too cheap, and gold because it's too expensive. But silver is just right. So it says, Rabbi, you know, you can redeem silver on copper because you can redeem silver on gold as well. Because their gold and copper are both considered fruit, vis-a-vis silver, which is considered to be a coin. Okay? Again, Amalei name Amachalin Kesev Al Chodesh came Amachalin Kesev Al Zov. Yichalu Zov Al Kesev. You wanted to be able to deem gold and silver. She'em Amachalin Zov Al Chodesh. Maybe that doesn't work. Maybe that doesn't work. Just like you can't redeem gold on copper, meaning that it could be that gold on silver is not good. Why is gold on silver not good? Because it could be gold on silver is also like coin on coin. And what's the proof of that? That you can't do gold on copper. Because both are, it's like fruit on fruit. Okay, so maybe gold and silver. In other words, I need a significant dissimilarity. Maybe gold and silver are too similar, just like gold and copper are too similar. So he says, how do you know that just because you can redeem silver on copper, they can redeem silver on gold? Maybe those two are too similar to work together. Okay, it's a messy kind of discussion. But the bottom line is we got to make the dissimilarities broad enough in order to be able to redeem one on the other. Okay? Says more. I'm Lord Blessed Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Blessed Shimon said, "No, Shkei Meitzer Sheni Shozav Mechanos Almost Bushalayim." No, that's not true. Yes, you can redeem silver on copper. Where if you took a gold on copper, if you took gold up to Yerushalayim, you in Yerushalayim you'll have to make change into copper, and then buy food because you can't buy food with gold. So I take $100 bill into the fruit and vegetable store. Nowadays you can't. Let's see, you're taking too much money to store, which only sells small amounts. So you're allowed to redeem gold on silver and copper. So therefore, you're allowed to redeem gold on silver as well. Says the Gemara. Midivish name, be that as it may, from both of them we learned. Mechalin, now look at the Ritbaz here. Mechalin Kesef Al Zov. You're allowed to redeem gold, silver on gold. But you can't redeem gold on copper except where? Where's the other place to redeem gold on copper? In Yerushalayim. Nowhere else. Okay? Otherwise, you can't redeem gold on copper. Okay, now, again, this is very unclear to me exactly what's going on here. Rabbi Elazar Ben Shimon said, you can be mechalel, but let me repeat it, maybe I'm going to clarify both to me and to you. Rabbi Elazar Ben Shimon said, you can redeem silver on copper and also gold on silver. Right? Rabbi said, maybe not. Maybe you can do silver on copper because you can do silver on gold. But maybe you can't do gold on silver. Why? Because you can't do gold on copper. So Rabbi Elazar Shimon says you can do gold on copper in Yerushalayim. So Gemara says, you know what? We see from both of them, though. We see from both of them that you can be v'chala silver on gold. And you can't be redeemed gold on copper except in Yerushalayim. What's their machlokas? Where they can do gold on silver. Rabbi Elazar Shimon holds you can do gold on silver, whereas Rabbi holds you can't do gold on silver. So Rabbi holds silver on gold. Everybody holds silver on gold works. The machlokas is gold on silver. Now I don't fully understand why it should work. If it works in one direction, it seems to work, and it should work in the other direction as well, right? If silver on gold works, so it seems to me gold on silver should work as well. But it seems that silver is definitely money vis-a-vis gold, which is definitely fruit. But once you redeemed on gold, let's say you redeem Meister Shani itself on gold, so then that already gave it a greater significance as currency. And therefore, to go from that to silver, that's not permitted. Yeah, but Malin Bekosh is not based on the value, because gold is not the most value, but rather on the currency concept. And therefore, you can go, it's not even Malin Bekosh memory. You go from currency to fruit, and from fruit to currency, but not from currency to currency. So silver to gold is currency to fruit. But gold to silver, I'm thinking, where you've redeemed initially on gold, that's considered to be going from currency to currency. Again, because your initial redemption on the gold gave the gold greater credibility as currency, and then it's not possible to go from gold to silver. Okay? I want to repeat that again because I like it and it's still not clear. To go from silver to gold, they can go. Because silver is currency for sure. And gold is generally fruit. But to go from gold to silver, that's a problem. Why? Because gold could be regarded as currency and as fruit. When you're redeemed on it, it gives it more credence as currency. And therefore, to go from gold to silver is too much current, too much like going from currency to currency, according to Rebbe. Because Rebbe Shimon allows that as well. Rebbe Shimon says you go from gold to silver. Okay? You know what? We'll have to stop here for tonight. But that's okay. This is a good stopping point, which is stop. Pick up again on Monday.
So, I have a lot of interesting tomorrow tonight. We're on Daf Yud Aleph and Aleph right at the top. And Hesed, Rabbi Boon. First, the second word on the page. Hesed, Rabbi Boon Bar Kana. Rabbi Boon Bar Kana asked the question. And last week we had a question as to whether they were commanded not to eat Chodesh Milu when they entered Eretz Yisrael at the time of Yeshua or not. So Hesed Rabbi Boon wanted to brought a question as a proof to say that they were chayiv on Chodesh Milu when they entered Eretz Yisrael. Vaksiv doesn't say Vayochlu Me'abur Oretz. It says that they ate from the crop of the land, Mimochras HaPesach, from the day after Pesach. When is the day after Pesach? V'lo b'shisho asoros, and on the 16th. And we see they waited till the day after Pesach, so we see they kept Chodosh. Okay? Hesed Rabbi Elazar Ben Yossi, Kumi Rabbi Yossi, it's Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi, when he heard this, he said in front of Rabbi Yossi, nah, not a good proof. Vaksiv, I prove to you that that's not a good proof. Vaksiv, Mimachros HaPesach, Yotzu Bnei Yisrael, Biyad Ramole, Neko Mitzrayim. Says the Jews left Israel when? Machros HaPesach. What day is that, Mimachros HaPesach? That was Tetz Vodnisim, the day after which Pesach? The day after the... the Korban Pesach. They have the Korban Pesach. So Merachos HaPesach doesn't necessarily indicate the 16th. It may very well indicate the 15th. In which case, they're eating Chodesh. The day before Chodesh would normally be Mutter. So therefore, I see they did not keep Chodesh when they entered Eretz Yisrael. Again, Vokzi Merachos HaPesach to Bnei Yisrael Bein Yad Roma with an outstretched arm. Lene Kol Mitzrayim Lo B'Chamishosar. It's not on the 15th, so therefore they must not have kept Chodesh when they entered Eretz Yisrael.
Didn't we answer last week that it was the man that they used?
Yeah, oh, so things like that. Good point. So the Pasuk says that they ate me from they start eating me aburats from Mimachras HaPesach. Comes out that for the 30 days from the time that they entered Eretz Yisrael until the second day, until the first day of Pesach, they were eating still man. That's right.
They
entered Eretz Yisrael 30 days earlier.
Was it Aleph Nisan?
No. Was it Aleph Nisan? I remember what date they entered. Whatever date they entered, for a certain amount of time, until the 15th day of Nisan, they were eating still from the month. So that's what coming to indicate.
She died on
Zayin Shvat. Zayin Adar. And they waited 30 days for his Avelus. So 7 days, I guess, they were eating for the month. Something like that. Anyway, the month stopped. No. Sorry. It's immaterial when they entered Eretz Yisrael. The month stopped the day Moshe Rabbeinu died. That's right. The month stopped then at Zayin Adar. So until the 15th day of Nisan, they were still eating the month. I think it's supposed to be 40 days exactly. But the Cheshbon is exactly 40 days of continuing to eat the month. So I don't assign until Tezayin. It tells Tezvav somehow. It should really come.
It's 40 days.
It is 40 days? Zayin till Tezvav? Practically, including the first and the last day. Right, so it's 40 days. So that's what it was. 40 days of continuing to eat the month, which they had from that last day. So it says, this should be really a header for the Mishnah. Yotzu mikan l'sham, it should be. If fruit went from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laaretz, mikan means Eretz Yisrael, to l'sham means to Chutz Laaretz, Rabbi Lezer mechayev, Rabbi Lezer says chay mechayev, Rabbi Akiva poter, Rabbi Akiva exempted from chala. Amar Rabbi, now it should be here, it's also a mistake, it should be Rabbi Lezer Minasrei. Rabbi Lezer learns from the self-same pasuk he learned from last week, Rabbi Kiva Minasrei. Now they have the similar machlokas when Peros Chutzlarts come into Eretz Yisrael, whether it's chayiv in chala or not. How so? Rabbi Lezer Minasrei, my time, Rabbi Lezer, what's the logic, Rabbi Lezer? Lechem Ha'aretz. It's the produce of the land, b'chol makom shehu, wherever the produce is. In Eretz Yisrael, Chutz Laaretz, wherever the produce is, if it came in Eretz Yisrael, it's chayiv. If it came in Chutz Laaretz, it's potter. Rabbi Kiva Minasrei, Rabbi Kiva learns from the same pasuk he learned from. My time, Rabbi Kiva, what's the pasuk, Rabbi Kiva? Eloretz asher ani mevi'eschem shama. To land which I am bringing you there. Shama atem chayov, and there you're chayov. Vein atem chayov, and Chutz Laaretz, and chayiv, and Chutz Laaretz. So meaning, the fruit has to be in Eretz Yisrael to be chayiv. So therefore, if it comes to Eretz Yisrael from Chutz Laaretz, it's chayiv. If it leaves Eretz Yisrael to go to Chutz Laaretz, it's potter. I'm not sure. If you already brought in dough, it might not become chayiv, because the point of chayiv is when it becomes, when you need it. So it means you brought in the raw materials and made the dough in Eretz Yisrael. Okay? Rabbanan the Kisorim B'Shem Rabbi Chanin. Rabbanan the Caesarea name Rabbi Chanin said, B'machlokas. The following is a machlokas, and there's going to be a machlokas, and it's going to have ramifications. And we'll first see the machlokas, then we'll discuss the ramifications. It says, Koma koma shir tidroch kafra lechem bo lechem yeh. Any place where your feet will step, for you it will be. And then it goes on to tell us afterwards an enumeration of the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. Ein b'chal ha'mashir ha'prat, ukrai b'Yehuda. Ukrai b'Yehuda, there is no chiyuv in mitzvah satluyas baretz beyond the promised land. Meaning there's a klal, every place where your feet go, but then there's a prat. All the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. So we say, Ein b'chalal ha'mashir prat, what's that gets the kedusha of Eretz Yisrael? Only the stuff which is within the boundaries of the promised land. receiving the Rabbi Yehuda, asked the question, Rabbi Yehuda, in Bitzvari Eretz Yisrael, if it's talking about specifically within the boundaries, Fox even already mentions them. Me'amid Bar Valvanon, Azeh, from the desert, from the Lebanon, Adonar, go down to the great river, Narpras, the river of the Euphrates, Kleret Achitim, in the land of the Chitim, of the Hittites, Adayama, go down to the great sea, the Mediterranean, Mabar Shemesh, the way the sun goes, Yegvulchem, that'll be your boundary, so why do we need a cloud? If it's not necessary to teach you the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, say we need the Sfar Chutzlarts. Use it to teach you the boundaries of Chutzlarts. Meaning that it goes beyond the Prat, and the cloud includes everything Jews conquer. Meaning, if Ezra's Hashem, we conquer Baghdad, so then becomes part and parcel of Eretz Yisrael with Vida Lokov Chal. Okay? So they argue. Rabbi Yehuda argues. Rabbi Yehuda said it's only the promised land. He was a merits, it was anti-war. But Rabbi Ravina are pro-war. Yeah. Don't even bring it up. Wait. Me'ata, Mashiach David, Hayluch Mechabish Baram Narayim. I know, sir. Me'ata, Mashiach David, Hayluch Mechabish Baram Narayim Baram Tova, that which David conquered. In Syria, what the Bible calls Kibush Yochid, Yuchay Mechal, Korabach, Mechayv, and Chal, Doraisa, because Komachom Shetitro, Kaf, Raglechem. Yushami gives the same answer the Bavli gives. Shan Yehi, it's different. David Meinich Sfarei Eretz Yisrael. David left the boundaries of Israel alone, but he didn't conquer all of Eretz Yisrael. Umechavish Sfarei Chutzlaretz when he was conquering Chutzlaretz. But he went out of order. The Bavli says he should have conquered adjacent to Yerushalayim first before having gone to Syria, and he did not. Okay. So that's a technical problem there. Otherwise, talking corner abana, we chayv and chalo. Now, here comes the cool part. Rabbi, have a boy Meimar. They wanted to say, Madomar Tamon Chayev. This is Mami Shushami. This is a whole bunch of kids of classic Shushami. From the machlokus we just extrapolated, we'll understand the machlokus in our Mishnah about chips. In our Mishnah said, the Rabbi Yehuda says that a ship which is entering the land of Israel, it's back on Yudah Amud Aleph, it only is going to be on the
line.
No. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold that. Rabbi Yehuda says it's got to be land. It's got to be grounded. Rabbanan hold as long as the boat is over the line, it's an Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Yehuda holds it's got to be grounded. So we want to say it's the same machlokes, just like Rabbi Yehuda says. In the promised land and no more, so too above water. No, it's no good. What does it have to be? On the ground of Eretz Yisrael. The boat has to be not just down anchored. The hull of the boat has got to touch land. It's got to touch ground. Whereas Rabbanan hold that Eretz Yisrael extends to wherever called Mokom Asher Atitro Kafra Agrochem, extends even to a boat which is in the water space of Eretz Yisrael. Same machlokas. Okay? Very creative application. Sounds good, right? So me and my dom have a boy, me and mother wants to say. My dom at Tamar Chayev, you says over there, Chayev, meaning Rabbanan. Avacha Chayev. So to here, Wait. That's true what I just told you. But now the Gemara wants to add on something. What I just told you, the Levi Yerushalayim brings down. But now the Gemara wants to expand further. In the Mishnah it said that whole Machloket between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan is talking about by Maisris and by Shvius. By Maisr and by Shvius. When is the fruit in the boat going to be Chayim and Maisr and Shvius? And then we had a Machloket between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan if it's only once it's grounded, that's Rabbi Yehuda, or even when it's still floating. Now, Lichor, let's say this idea is true about Chala. I have a boy mayor, Madama Tamon Chayav. That was just said over there by Meister Shvisa, you're Chayav. And this is Machlokes. Havacha Chayav, so to hear you're Chayav, right? Bechal. Madame Tam Potter. He also had a Meister Schweizer exam. Half Hacha Potter. So three of Potter. Let's Chala Meister Schweizer all the same parameters. Says more, no. Half Yuki Madame Tam on Potter. Even if you're by Meister Schweizer, you're exempt until you run aground. Hacha Chayef. Here it's Chayef. Why? Because No, not just for you on the ground. Also, yeah, one second. Yeah, I'm correct. Okay, I feel come out of my tampon. You know, I feel who exempt over the over there. By Meiser and Shvius. Here he's going to make you Chayev in Chala. Why came it Shenichnasu Yisrael Nischayvu? Why? Because Chala is more stringent than Meiser. Why is Chala more stringent than Meiser? Because Chala, once they entered the land of Eretz Yisrael, before the 14 years that they divided, conquered the divided land, they're already Chayev in Chala. We said by Chal, they're Chayev right away. The truth is, we never expounded on this. We said by Chal, they're Chayev right away because we said this before, if it goes back to the Avos. Eretz Yisrael, Muchzek, Sonami, Avosenu, or the land is already out, sometimes the Avos. So we said the moment they entered Eretz Yisrael, they became Chayev and Chal. We didn't explain Meiser and Shvius. I don't know if we have, I'm not sure why the dichotomy, why Meiser and Shvius, they waited 14 years. And Chala not. Perhaps, I'm just hypothesizing, because Meiser Shvius are contingent on ownership of the actual land, not just presence in the land. In other words, you have to own the land in the land of Israel in order to be Chayv and Meiser Shvius. Those 14 years, they weren't considered to be yet fully resident, fully in control of the land. Whereas Chala is a din in the dough, which grows in, dough of grain, which grows in Eretz Yisrael. It's considered Eretz Yisrael from the moment they entered. Something to that effect. I'm just making that up. It could be it's totally off base. But what I'm saying is true, that Chal, they became Chayv in a way, and Meister Shvius only became 14 years later. So therefore, even Rabbi Yehuda holds that a floating boat is exempt from Meister and Shvius, it might well be Chayv and Chala. Because there's a difference in parameters between Chala and Meister and Shvius. Okay? Says more further. See, it says, who? This is one of the evil kings of the northern kingdom, Yeravam ben Yoash, who was the king of Israel. Not the first Yeravam, that was Yeravam ben Nevat. This is Yeravam, Jeroboam the second, the one who was the son of Yoash. So, Ksiv Luo Sheshives Gvul Israel, he returned the boundary of the Jewish people, Milavo Chamos, from Lavo Chamos, which is somewhere in Syria, Ad Yam Arava, until to the Sea of the Arava, whatever that is exactly. Kivar Hashem Elokei Yisrael, like the word of God, the Lord of Israel, Asher Diber Bi Aravdu, who sent this over to his servant, Yonah ben Amitai Anovi, Yonah, same Yonah, the famous Yonah, Asher Migatza Chefer, who was in the city of Gatza Chefer. So Rabbi Chanina Raimona, Charamar Komash Kivish Yoshua Kivishze. Rechin Raimona said, they had a historical disagreement. It's really not about locus and halacha. That everything Yoshua conquered and was taken away by attrition by the goyim over time, Yeravam ben Yoash brought back. Whereas Mecharon Amar, the other Madam holds Yosef Mashkibes Yoshua Kibesa. Yeravam went beyond the boundaries of Yoshua and conquered his own stuff independent, above and beyond that. Tana, we learned. The Tana Rabbi Sidur, what we learned in the house of Rabbi Sidur, I never saw that name before. Rabbi Sidur. Tana Rabbi Sidur, Mesayel Rabbi Mona. It was a Raya for Rabbi Mona. That which Rabbi Sidur said, what did Rabbi Sidur say? Yomim Kalim Osu Yisrael Bosoret. Very few days that was Amisol in this land which Yeravam ben Yoash conquered. So that signifies to us, even though it's not explicit proof, that it wasn't part of the original land conquered by Yehoshua, and therefore he lost it relatively quickly because of many adversaries. Okay? Of...
In time, Yeshua? Yeah.
Yeah, but that's true. But the question is whether it was, this is above and beyond what Yeshua conquered. He conquered it. I don't know what other periods have conquered as well, but I know what you're talking about. It appears in Tanakh somewhere with the Chumash. I don't remember what context. Okay. Be as it may. Over Chutzah Shabbat is Syria. Yeah, the third Chutzah comes to Syria. Nazis, because Syria is made like, it becomes like Syria. Yotzim Yisham, the kind of it leaves Syria and comes to Eretz Yisrael. And it's right. Amrav, what? Yes. Amrav, Yerav said, Amos, and when the boat is, is brushing the ground. Rabbi Chagai said an amazing, amazing thing. You got it. This is, again, classic Yerushalmi. Rabbi Yehuda Kedaiti. Rabbi Yehuda is like his line of reasoning. The Rabbi Yehuda Poiter Mayim Vishay Mamish. The Aloch is, Rabbi Yehuda says, in Masechta Beitzah, if you have two women who together made a dough, one gave the water, one gave the flour. You can have more women. One gave the salt, one gave the vanilla vanilla extract, and so on and so forth. So on Yom Tov, when this cake is baked, so the Tchum Shabbos of this cake, the 2,000 Amos, is determined on the basis of all of these women. And since none of them is the principal owner, since each gave a portion. Okay? Excuse me. So there, Rabbi Yehuda says everybody establishes the Tchum Shabbos of the cake except for the woman who gave the water. Why is that? Because my main boy, Mamash. Water is insignificant. So it's up there. What does he say? Says, what does it mean water is insignificant? Water is like air. If water is like air, that's where we understand that Rabbi Yehuda holds that unless the boat is docked, is brushing the ground, it's not considered to be an Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because it's got airspace between it and the ground. How we know it's airspace? From the Gemara in Beitzah. This is amazing. This is Mamash Yerushalmi. Leaping across vast areas of Shas in order to make these comparisons. Hyper connection. Now, I'm Rabbi Yav, and Rabbi said, excuse me, I have a cough. Lomistabra, da delo, which of course in Shah means da elo, right? This doesn't make sense. Rather, mechafa shitase, on the contrary. If it's like airspace, if water's like air, it's better. Why is that? What happens when you have air in between a perforated pot and the ground?
It's mechubar.
If you hold water is not like air, then tak air, it's a hefsek. No, the Lord is like, here, it's better. It should be Dafka Mechubar to Eretz Yisrael that way, right? Right, that's what he says. Lo Vistabrata, Ela Mechal Pashitose. Lo Haisa Hasvina Gosheshes. You should say that if the boat is not touching the ground, Kemosha Hasvina Gosheshes. That it is like it's touching the ground because it's just like an Otzitz Nokuv Agabi Isedos. Just like a perforated pot on top of poles, right? And so says Gemara, and rather, this is not the reasoning. Nice try, the try and tie in from Beitza won't wash. Rather, lois asfina gosheshes, get it, water, wash. Lois asfina gosheshes. Lois asfina gosheshes. Lois asfina gosheshes. Lois asfina gosheshes. You gotta laugh at my joke, especially this hour. If the boat was not floating, then the meisters on it are the rabbanon. I should tell you what the Levi Yerushalayim says. Levi Yerushalayim says that Rabbi Yehuda says that which Rabbi Yehuda says by water, ain't by mamish. It's not that they're like air. Of course it's not like air. Rather, but what? It's insignificant. So it's not like Rabbi Chagai assumed that water's like air, in which case it would be better, but rather water is water, but it's insignificant and therefore it doesn't dictate the Tchum Shabbos of the bread. And therefore here it's an interruption between the bare boat and the ground. Okay? So that's obvious. I mean, that's the Kumar's conclusion. Leisos fina gosheshes ma'aser osemi halacha. If the boat was not at dock, on the ground, the ma'asers you take off on the boat are midrabbana. Tormi menor lotishen or nakuv. Now, since only ma'asers the midrabbana, you can take truma from the boat. This is only Rabbi Yehuda. You can take truma from something growing on the boat, on something growing in a non-perforated pot. Umilotishen or nakuv, and for something which is growing in a non-perforated pot, a love. Because they're both as alek, because they're both the same status, right? Like we learned, atishenor nakuv, a non-perforated pot, ma'asrisa me'aloche, it's ma'asrisa only midrabanan, utrumos ena metamas, and if truma from such a pot falls into a mikhulin, it doesn't make meduma, ve'echayol amirshum chomesh, and if a non-coin eats it, he doesn't pay a fifth. Okay. All that makes sense. Rabbi Hila B'Shem, Rabbi Lezer said, Hakoyne Oti Tznaku B'Surya. It's a big chiddush she's about to say. You buy a perforated pot in Syria. You put it over a goy's land. The perforated pot is yours, including the dirt inside. The land underneath is not yours, it's a goy's. Now, in Eretz Yisrael, that won't make a difference. Because Eretz Yisrael is Be'etzem Kadosh. But in Syria, we say land of a goy is not chayv in any Trumas or Maizos. And the whole thing is Durabana, because it's only Kibush Yachid. So there, because only conquest of David Havel. So if the land underneath is a goy, the chayv should be exempt altogether, right? The Chiddush is it's not. It's a perforated pot. Even though land needs belongs to a goy. Oh, he only acquired the land on top of the perforated pot. That's sufficient l'chaivo b'maitzris u'lishmias. He's still chayv to keep in his perforated pot that logs the maitzir shmias. I feel that's a garbage day in Seidos. Even if it's on top of two poles, meaning it's severed from the ground. Not just if it's resting on the ground, but even if it's in midair. Yeah, even in Syria. I don't remember. I don't think so. I could be wrong. No, from the airspace? No, it's a perforated pot.
Yeah.
I don't know what that little perforated pot. No, it's like Mechul Karka. No, but San Siri would be Tommy. Yeah, I don't remember if it's Tommy or not. I don't remember. I don't remember if it's Tommy or not. But I don't think so. Because then all the truma you took up in Syria would be to Tame, and you do give it to a Kohen. Yeah, I don't think it's Matame. I don't think so. But I don't remember. It could be I'm wrong. But even after Rabbi Yehuda Moed, even Rabbi Yehuda could see this. Mavino Ben Tzvino. What's the difference between this and a boat? That was a bit difficult. I could just give him the answer that a boat is interrupted by water, and this is not interrupted. He doesn't give that difference. He says, a boat, Tzvino Olav Yoredes. It goes up and down. Here the flower pot is static. It's in the same space, in the same place. So if it's constantly deriving the same nourishment. So I don't know why he just didn't answer. There's an interesting airspace and water space. I don't know why he didn't answer that. But he doesn't. Maybe here in the back it says something. Wait a second.
So since the boat is always moving.
Right, so it's never considered mechuber to any spot over which it is. So I guess we're going, even if you held that water is not, is doesn't have mamoshes, still not going to be considered connected on the spaces. Because it goes up and down. It could be, he says something, but okay, it's too long now to figure it out. Okay, says more further. Now, here we really should have like a header. And we're going to have it says, the Mishnah says later in the Mishnah, that if you have a dough which is kneaded with May Peros, with the juice of a fruit, so it's Chai B'Challah. So a cake would be Chai B'Challah, right? Rabbi Yossi B'Challah, Rabbi Lezer ben Yehuda Ish Partusoi. This is going to Rabbi Lezer ben Yehuda Ish Partusoi. The thing that we learned over there in one of the other Mesechtos, was it Taros or something? Tuya. The thing that we learned over there,
lost my place.
Beginning of my Rabbi Lezer ben Yehuda Ish Partusoi. Rabbi Yeshua says name Rabbi Yeshua. Pasal es kula. Now that means if you needed a dough with fruit juice, it's mechaber the whole dough. It's not makshir the dough to be mechaber tuma, because what's makshir mechaber tuma only?
Ten.
That's true. The seven mashkin. Mayor prayer is not one of them, right? So it's not makshir mechaber tuma. But once the grain is makshir mechaber tuma, the May Peros creates a sufficient connection in the dough that if you touch one part of the dough, it's Matami the whole dough. Is that clear what I'm saying? It unifies the pieces. In other words, if you had a flour, just flour, you touch one layer of flour, the rest of the flour would still be tar, because flour is not connected integrally, right? So only the stuff you touch would be tummy. But in this dough, the mitami the whole dough, because the meperos makes the whole thing one unit, one chibur together. Okay, so he would be the one who will hold by chalo also that it makes the dough. It's considered unified now, and therefore it's chayv and chalo. Do you see that connection? Other, or a hyper connection to a certain extent. So,
I also
say
the same thing.
Yeah, but you could have cookie dough with
make
that'll be
master
kabel tuma the same way, but it's not.
No, it's not master kabel tuma. Only if the flour became moistened before.
Yeah, all right. So it became moistened. So is it high of an hal cookie dough?
You make enough. We make enough. We had before that pancake stuff which you cook is potter. Pancakes, matzo balls, but anything baked is going to be chayav. Or even Arishayla bagels are going to be potter because they're baked and they're cooked and baked. We said they're not potter. So ultimately you're chayav. But anything baked, even cookie dough, would be chayav. Okay? So, Rabbi Akiva argues. Rabbi Akiva Omer Mishmo, Lo Pasal Makom Ago. Even if you need it with fruit, it's not needed, and therefore you only pasal the place which you touch, not the entire thing. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Amar, Maplegin. When did Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Akiva argue? When it first was Mukshal Kabel Tuma, V'Chakach Nilosha, and then it was needed with fruit juice. Shemay Peros. Now this should be Mechabrin. May peros are not mechuvarim, but mechabrin. They connect in order to be machshul kabel tuma. Avlim niloisha v'achakach uchshira. It first was needed, and only afterwards to get wet with a regular beverage, one of the seven beverages. And may peros mechabrin lachshir. Then the may peros are not mechabrin, because then it's too late. Only the part in which the liquid falls becomes mukshul kabel tuma. It's an interesting concept. I don't understand exactly why it makes a difference whether the tuma falls, whether the action takes place before he needs the dough or not. But that's what he's saying. It makes a difference. Yeah, he doesn't explain it. Okay, be that as it may, Rabbi Chia, B'shem Rabbi Yochanan, said, Divrei Akoli. The Aron Mishnah can be like everybody, even called Rabbi Akiva. Abba Gavri Akiva, my Tamon. You know what Akiva said over there? Here's the case where Tamon in the Yerushalmi means over there. Even though he said over there, Ein Mei Peiros Mechabin Lutuma, that fruit juice is not mechaber vis-a-vis Allah is being kabel tuma. Moidu achash may peros mechaber lechala. He concedes vis-a-vis chala. The parameters are more lenient. By chala, you need to have just the dough. You don't have to have a tuma connection. So the fact that it's needed with may peros is sufficient to be mechaber to make it connected. Rabbi Ba and Rabbi Chia b'shem Rabbi Shimon Levi said, "Ain l'chol mechaber l'shiva samash kamil bat." The only thing which is mechaber are the seven beverages. What are they? Wine, blood, what? Water, milk. We're not in order. I didn't even order. Yad shachatam. Wine, blood, oil, milk,
dew.
What are those, you say? Dvash, right, not bee honey. Is it bee honey? Last time I got it wrong, you told me, you proved it to me. It's one of the two honeys. Which one is it? Bee honey, you sure? I think it's date honey. It's date honey. I don't think bee honey is considered beverage or honey. But date honey and water. Right. Okay. So those seven. You need a dough. If you need a dough with any of those seven, it's a chibur. If not, it's not a chibur. Even so, now the Gemara asks, what was he talking about? Eat him, Rabbi Yossi boy, my samus. What was he talking about? L'chalo l'tuma. Was he talking about l'chalo or v'atuma? Eat him, l'chalo. You're going to say that may parents are not a chibur for chalo, so koshke l'tuma. They're certainly not a chibur for tuma, right? Because the cohesion was necessary in order to be chayv l'chalo is less than the cohesion necessary for tuma. In time, I'm going to say l'tuma that it's not a chibur vis-a-vis tuma. Perhaps a l'chal lo. Maybe l'chal it's not a problem, and it is a chibur. Because again, l'chal has less stringent parameters. Rabbi Yonah pshitolei, Rabbi Yonah ba'imos bashit l'chalo. For l'chalo, it's not a chibur, and koshkin it's not a chibur for l'chalo. It's certainly not a chibur vis-a-vis tuma. Rabbi Yonah kedaite. Rabbi Yonah is like he said elsewhere. To Rabbi Yonah Tani, Rabbi Yonah learned to Rabbi Shimon Yochai, and name Rabbi Shimon Yochai. Rabbi Shimon Levi also taught Rabbi Shimon Yochai, also learned name Rabbi Shimon Yochai. To Tani, Rabbi Shimon Yochai, what Rabbi Shimon Yochai say? He said, Rabbi Tarfon, and name Rabbi Tarfon, Nemar Kan Chala. It says by the mitzvah of Chala Chala, Venemar Lalan, it says by Korbanos, Chalas Lechem Shemen, Zemenoches. Are brought from loaves of oily bread. And just like the challah mentioned over there is made with oil, which is avchal shneimar kan asuya b'shemen. So to the challah mentioned here must be made with oil. Shemen echad mishiva samashkinu, and says oil is one of the same beverage. So we extrapolate and say any one of the same beverages suffices. Okay. Rabbi Yossi b'shem Rabbi Shabbosai say and said. Rabbi Chia b'shem Rabbi Shimon Lucky said. For challah and to wash one's hands for eating, and that's to go four meal. To find a kneader, a professional kneader, KNEADER, who does it b'tahara. In order to continue to have your dough kneaded the tahara. Okay? If you didn't wait, so then you made it to Tame, so you're chai mishum tuma. Well, I take that back. If you didn't wait, Brother Shimon Lovitz doesn't discuss what the consequences are, which you didn't, if you didn't wait. You just said you're supposed to wait. Okay? The count is dying, my other mahakar boss meal, so we have to walk four meal. In order to potentially come to a place where you'll be assured that the halachos will be fulfilled. Rav Moshe Rav Yitzchak Chanina said, "Hold the table in front of it. It's only if it's walking in front of you for a meal. I will akra, but to walk in back of you, aim at shirna, so we don't make you walk backwards." I think the Bible Yerushalayim brings down here, but the Bible still brings down. We don't make you walk backwards more than one meal. But one meal we do make you walk, not backwards, back in the other direction, right? Okay? So says the Gemara, Sherme Ganos, Upaidesim, people who watch gardens and orchards, Ma'ot Avilo, what's their halacha? Do they have to move it all? Or do I say that in front of them is like in back of them, and they don't have to move, they can just remain static, and they get the thief good if not tough? What's our halacha? Shmini me'ado. It's one for our Mishnah. It says the Yishei Yosef is a great chalot to aruma. A woman can sit and take off chalot naked. Why can't she just go in the bedroom and get some clothes on? Vada isha. Lo besoch beis yosheves. She's not in her house. The tema ema tricher aleh. Well, we're not going to make her even go to the bedroom. So the answer is enecham. We don't make her go into the bedroom. So what do we see? So to when do you have to move four meal or one meal in order to make a challah b'tar or in order to wash your hands? When you're on the move anyway. But if you're stationary, you don't even make your neck go into the next room. So to the shomer ganos, ganos and pardesim, which are stuck there doing guard duty, we don't even make them go anywhere in order to just dry more or to avoid eating bikurim. Okay? Says the Gemara, not bikurim, grain without having taken challah off, apologize, grain without taking challah. Says the Gemara further, Tani, we learned, this is off on a tangent, Hamayim, Shalif Ne'amozon, water which you wash with before you eat, Rishus, it's optional. That which you wash with after you eat, Mayim Achroni V'chova, it's mandatory. Same lush appears in the Bavli almost. Elosh, the Rishonim, no difference is, at the Rishonim, Mayim Rishonim, not till Mavsik, you wash twice. Zarminic, of course, right? You wash, you interrupt, and then you wash again. Rav Yaakov Baracho, no, I'm sorry. Mavsik, you just do one time. There's a little bit of riot for the Groth. The Groth says that Mayim Achronim should be done with the Revius, with a full measure of water. So here it sounds like that too, because it sounds like the only difference between the first time and the second time is the right, number of times, right. Not the shear of the water. That's correct, right? So it's a little bit like the raw. Okay, a little bit. I don't know if it's a riot, but that's what I would say. Says the Gemara, Mao Mafsik. Why do you interrupt? Oh, what is the interruption? Because go me, go out and schmooze in the middle. No, Rabbi Yaakov Racham, Mar Noitz of Ashrani, you wash and wash again. Rabbi Yaakov Barabitza, good boy. Yes, Noitz of Ashrani, it says you gotta wash twice. Vatamart Rashus, you're calling that Rashus? Furthermore, it should be instead of in, is. Is the boy mayor Basmi, and they say you have to walk 4 meal in front of you in order to get the water. Vatamart Rashus, you're saying it's optional? Sounds mandatory to me. Mar doesn't answer these questions. Mar goes on to another thing. I'm Rakub Raide. What? Yeah. It's not Rishus. Vis a vis my machronim, it's Rishus, but it's really mitzvah. That's what it says in the Bible. Okay? I'm Rakub Raide. Rabbi Yaakov said, Ishtikla Gadato, I'll reshoin him, because somebody didn't wash my reshoin him, Nechel Basar Chazir, he ate pig's meat. You're all familiar with this mite that's brought down in the Bavli a couple of times. The two people went to the restaurant at the time when they were Xeris, right? Against openly conducting something to be Jewish. So the guy, the storekeeper used to have a simon. Anybody washes his hands, Mr. Amo was Jewish, and he would give them kosher food. So one guy walked in and didn't wash his hands, he didn't get kosher food, right? So that's what I said. I'm going to restrain him now, by omitting my until the time, pig's meat was eaten. Alashneem on my acronym, Yotzishim Vesel, a certain woman was kicked out of her house. There's another elaborate maisa. Certain individual who gave money, Reuven gave money to Shimon to safeguard. He said, don't give it to anybody unless they give you a sign from me. In the meantime, Shimon left, and his wife was left home with the money. So Reuven Reuven had seen Shimon, and no, I think it was a lady. Reuven gave money to Shimon to safekeep, and Shimon said Shimon not to give it up unless it's a direct command. Shimon went away and left his wife in charge. Levi comes and says, listen, Mrs. Shimon, your husband said to give me the money, and he sent me a sign that you should believe me, which is he told me what you ate for breakfast, scrambled eggs, and since I know that you ate scrambled eggs for breakfast, so therefore start giving me the money. Okay, because I have a sign that you're, I know your husband, I met him. Hey, I had to wash my machronim.
Levi saw Shimon.
Right, Levi saw Shimon with the stuff on his mustache, right. So he knew that Levi, what Levi had eaten. So it's just a trick on his part. So, so when Shimon got home, he was very upset, right? So he divorced his wife. She got kicked out because of that. Three people were killed as a result. The husband killed the wife. The son came to the father to protest. The husband killed him as well. And then the other went up to the roof and committed suicide. Jolly good meiser, right?
I know, I was going to bring that up. How could that be?
Shas HaGzeira, yeah, this is not kosher. The Romans are coming in to eat there. Okay? Right. Okay. You have a good question. I have don't have a good answer. Could be a story was, it's kosher style. No. I know where it is. It's on the map. Oh. Did I ever tell you the Meisel with Goldman? There's a Meisel. The tremendous design, the Chicago Jewish Hebrew Chicago Jewish Historical Society put out a book by old Rabbi Goldman's son. Old Rabbi Goldman's son is an Oicher Yisrael. He became a conservative rabbi and drives on Shabbos and the whole business. Also a Rabbi Goldman somewhere in Connecticut. So he wrote that he attended the yeshiva in the 40s. But it was already wasn't from then. He came in one day to the yeshiva and was shaved with a razor. So the dean, Rabbi Greenberg, kicked him out. But the president, Rabbi Silber, readmitted him. Okay? So Rabbi Greenberg was to a certain extent more from than Rabbi Silber, although not completely. But in any event, neither of them were the extreme right wingers. So one time, during the 9 days, this is the mice in the book. Goldman says he walked into a restaurant and he ordered a corned beef sandwich. And the dean was sitting in the same restaurant eating ice cream. So the dean got all upset at him. So after the dean left, so Goldman went and asked the owner of the restaurant what the ingredients of the ice cream were. So it turns out it was treif ice cream. It had gelatin in it. So the next day the dean calls him at the office and says, "My high, how can you eat corned beef during the 9 days? It's awesome." So Goldman said back to him, "My high, how can you eat treif ice cream? It's always awesome, not just the 9 days." So, but this is gelatin. Yeah. So it's down there. Gershuni said it's around gelatin. Gershuni is the one who gave Ashkoch on gelatin for many years. Yeah. That was a blanket that was there. Reb Chaim Moshe are also the same heter. The question is how they process it. Right. No, but Lav Dafka, I don't think it has Yavish Gates. The Yavish Gates, everybody agrees. The question is Nishtana. But it's just too complicated to get into. And I have a good tape on the topic. CH22, I think it is. One of the early tapes. Okay. In any event.
But they were eating, he was eating ice cream at a restaurant.
Right. Oh, yeah. So, right. No, the meat was kosher. They're serving corned beef. The same restaurant was serving corned beef and ice cream. Yeah. Those are good old days. Okay. So, in any event, be that as well as it may, our Mishnah teaches us agavos ein bahem mishum erva. The buttocks are not erva. Now, why is that? Because it says the woman can lie down on the ground and make a bracha, even though she's stark naked. So her buttocks are facing into the air. She's lying on her stomach. But see, buttocks are not a rise. Hard to die, Tom, the bracha, they have to start making a bracha. You make a bracha on the prayer, so she can make a bracha when her buttocks are exposed. What, Rogel Vakach? No. That's not what it is. Okay, it's not like here. It's only for her, it's not for other people, for men necessarily in the room. You're not allowed to look at the buttocks. Right? As it says, somebody looks at the heel of a woman, it's as if he's looking at her womb. Somebody looks at her womb, as if he has relations with her. The voice of a woman is an erva. My time, why? For yom ikos nusa. It came to pass from the voice of her licentiousness. From that, Batik Chonevar, the land was full of flattery, meaning here, Aveira, the Gomitzer. Ravun Amar, Omer Adam Aotso Mispalo. A person could stand over excrement and daven. Vachli Absar Nogeb, so as long as his flesh doesn't touch the excrement. So the way the Farshim learned, that means that if you have a hole in the ground that has excrement in it, so he can put his foot, even his bare foot, over the hole, as long as there's no smell, and his foot is not touching the excrement, he can daven in that situation. Okay, because the excrement is covered, and he's not touching it. Okay? Yashav lo kinech, if a person sits, means he defecates, and he doesn't wipe himself afterwards, us is forbidden to daven, because there's still flecks adhering to his skin. Alright, Ramana said, Avagav lomar, Rav Huna should be. Avagav de lomar Rav Huna ha milsa, even though Rav Huna didn't say this explicitly, Omar the Kavosa. He said something similar. In other words, Rav Huna never said this business about sitting down not wiping yourself. But we extrapolate from what it says previously. The Rav Huna mar omeru adam al kabitso mispalo. Rav Huna had said that a person could stand over excrement and daven. As long as his flesh doesn't touch the excrement. So from this we derive, Yashav lo kinech, if a person sat and defecated and didn't wipe himself, his flesh is now touching the excrement, and therefore that he's not allowed to daven.
Because he didn't have the stones on Shabbos.
He didn't have the stones, right? Okay? Halacha beit. No, boy, things went too well tonight. I'm ahead of myself. Well, this I still prepare. Misha and Yochel, Asosi, Soso, Bataro. Did you guys both on Marv, right? Not Marv? No. Otherwise, I'd let you go early. Misha and Yochel, Asosi, Soso, Bataro. Somebody who can't make his dough when he's tar. He's like Mizmana Zeh. We're all tummy. So what do we do? How do we make the dough? Yasena Kabin. So Tadakamo is you make it in sections. In small amounts, by a side of so that don't make a large amount. When you're talking about it, in order you shouldn't be mechayev in the challah. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Yasena Betuma, even though you're talking about it, you should still do it. By a side of kabbi, you should not make it in small amounts. Why? Because there's an advantage to making challah even with your tummy. Just like you designate challah on Torah grain, dough, so to designate to challah on tomei dough. And, lezukor echal b'shem, when you take challah off a tar batter, you make a broch on it, b'shem. Lezukor echal b'shem, so to you make a broch on it. So therefore it's advantageous to be make the broch. Avokabayim, but if you're going to make it in separate batter, say lem challah b'shem, there's no challah you can take off. So they're not with the broch, so therefore it's better to make a betuma than to make it in smaller shurim. How is this yisasa kabin? What if you made your grain, your dough, in small amounts, v'nogu zebizeh, and then the various different piles of dough touched each other? Peturim yachal, the exam of chal, they don't make them share, achiyacho shochu, unless you, literally they bite, unless these little piles of dough get mixed together. Rabbi Lezer, Afarodim, Rabbi Lezer argues, says, Afarodim, and Oysa, Sal, we pass this way. Even if you took out four separate challahs from the oven, which were baked separately, and you put them into a basket afterwards, Hasal, Mitzarif, and Chal, the Sal makes them join together to be Mechayim, Mechal. In other words, it doesn't have to be together when it's a dough, when it's kneaded, but even if it gets together after it's baked, And by putting all the bread in one basket, so you're chayav chal. This is sort of somebody, a woman once asked me, how she can take chal off what she bakes in a bread maker. Because it's much less than the chiv. So I said, the truth is the only way you can take it off is by running the bread maker a few times. And coming to this scenario, where all of them can be put into a basket, and they were all put in the basket, and then become a chayim b'chal ritual. Okay?
Now, when they are put in the basket, do they become adherents to each other, or they're still...
No, no. But the basket is mitzarif. The being in the basket joins them together. Okay? Says more further. What's the status? Well, it should be ma. What's the status? Pachos me'arba'as mil yaseh b'tara. Does it mean that if you have less than 4 meals to go, like we said previously, before you can find somebody to do it for you, b'tara. So then you should, if it's less than 4 meals, yaseh b'tara, arba'as mil, if it's more than 4 meals to the next don't eat her, then you should just make it in small batches. Arba'as mil yaseh b'tara. Exactly 4 meals you should make in small batches. Or is it our boss meal? If it's exactly 4 meal, you gotta send a batara. You should still do a batara.
Why should you still do a batara?
Oh, you should wait till you get there. Right, you should wait till you get there. But to Yosem Abbas meal, if it's more than 4 meals there, then you have to send a and you can make it in small batches. So, Nishmina made a dot here from this case. I'm winging it now, by the way. If I run aground now, we're just going to stop. This is like Caesarea. In other words, wherever they were, it doesn't say exactly where they were, but like Caesarea, which was 4 meals away. Kesaron live arba'as milin is in four. It's the case of Caesarea, 4 meals for where Rabbi Chiya was. Damara, it teaches us that if it's up to 4 meals, exactly 4 meals, you have to send a batara. Lee meant that you have to go to Caesarea to do it. Don't do where you are. So after 4 meals, go to Caesarea and get it done there. Here's the last meal. If it's more than 4 meals away, you have to send a copy. You can make it in small batches. Rabbi Yami, hurry, be kfar. Shemi, Rabbi Yami Paskin in the city called Kfar Shammai, it says here in the Levi Yerushalayim, Lassos Iso Gedola Betuma. To make a large batch of dough, even Betuma, right? Following Shamar Bas Kagmil. And wait a minute, but there was less than 4 meals from Kfar Shammai to the place where there was a kneader who could knead the dough Betara. So the more it's true, it's less than 4 meals. But Mikame and the Naga Mafsik, since there was a river in the middle, Kamisha Shamar Bas meal. So that counts as if it's 4 meals. Okay, I'm not going to burden you anymore with my blundering.
Let's stop here for this evening.
Today's your Dalit? What's today?
One.